Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest today is the... Ooh, what kind of an adjective should I use for this guy? I don't know. Something scary and something brilliant. I think that's about as close as I'll really come to it at this particular point. David Andrew Christensen has two little thingies he'd like us to plug for him. PersimmonPublishingUS.com. That's PersimmonPublishing.com. US.com. That's not Per Simon Publishing. That's another website. And David Andrew Christensen channel on YouTube. So without further ado, we're going to bring him on. Now, David, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Right. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what exactly the heck is the Katrina virus?
Well, there's two things today. I went to the United States Air Force Academy, graduated from there, became commissioned in the Air Force, and served my country. I left the military in 1989 as a captain, separated from the Air Force, got a master's degree from the University of Arkansas. Spring forward to New Orleans. I started living in New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina, and then discovered during Hurricane Katrina that weapons of mass destruction had been manufactured, tested, stored there. Chemical warfare weapons, which I have compiled into one simple phrase, the Katrina virus. Now spring forward to today, with the Super Bowl being there this weekend and Mardi Gras, we're coming up the United States today, confidentially clandestine, placed the world on alert for a pending pandemic coming out of the United States. We have three current viruses that are at epidemic levels. One is a whooping cough, but the two that are most important are the flu and the norovirus. And it's interesting, sort of a coincidence, that the previous norovirus from 2009 was called the New Orleans norovirus, and then it became the Sydney norovirus. And now the next one is mutating into what I call the Super Bowl norovirus or the Mardi Gras norovirus. So with that being said, sir, do you have any questions?
Well, I want to know what your background is on virology.
I learned about it over the last 5 or 6 years, studying up on it. When I became aware of what was happening in New Orleans, I started reading on it, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, et cetera. And this norovirus, while the flu virus is very dangerous, this norovirus, and one of the spectacular things, let me back up for a second. Let me share one piece of information that is really critical to all this. The United States is not a great country when it comes to moral and ethics, all right? So if you are the United States of America, what would be a perfect military weapon? Well, it is one that you could disperse to the other army where the other army would commit suicide. That's what they were working on in New Orleans. They were working on triggering agents that would trigger cancer in individuals, but the suicide weapon was perfect because then you didn't have to, you wouldn't have to have prisons, you wouldn't have to house anybody, et cetera. So they started working on this 50, 60, 70 years ago, and they had all the laboratories interdispersed through New Orleans. And you have to remember, New Orleans is the chemical capital of the world. If you ever take a Google Earth picture of the Mississippi River, there's thousands of chemical plants. So they had everything they needed to conduct this research there in New Orleans, and it's all documented. But our government, didn't take care of the facilities once they were done with them. So we had bacterias, we had viruses, we had radioactive particles. There was a nuclear accelerator down where I lived in New Orleans that had been removed. So all this stuff just festered in New Orleans. And then before Hurricane Katrina, they bring in this army division. And there's two really critical points about that I want to point out just to simplify how important it was that this be covered up. we're the greatest country in the world as far as the military presence, and we didn't go in for 5 days. They wanted to allow these chemicals to disperse, and that's what it was about. And a lot of people remember George Bush and Air Force One flying over New Orleans but not landing. I, as an Air Force officer and an Air Force pilot, flew support missions for Air Force One, for the president, his dad, and for the Secret Service. Belchase Naval Air Station was secure. They told the world that he couldn't land because it wasn't secure. That's absolutely not true. If you go back now and look at the books that people read, like Donald Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense, the first Special Operations Wing out of Herbert Field was there en masse. We had this entire division there, but their job was to keep people looking at the Superdome and the Convention Center while these chemicals dispersed. And if you ever look at the Convention Center videos, the greatest interstate in the United States is the Mississippi River. Every redneck in South Louisiana has a boat. All they do is say, walk to the river, we'll pick you up. I'm rambling. Vinny, you got any questions?
Well, I've also wondered why it's called specifically the Katrina virus, and you just kind of answered that question, because when you've got chemical, biological, radiological facilities and things of that nature along something that is as much affected by heavy rainfall as a river, when you're downstream, you're screwed. I wonder just exactly what the game plan is here, because I always see that they use crisis as an opportunity in this type of situation. Who benefits from this kind of viral and biological chemical outbreak sort of thing? Is there any benefit at all, or was it just an accident that just kind of happened?
It was an accident that should have been dealt with, and the public should have been notified. And, you know, they call it negligent, which it was, because they didn't maintain the facilities. You know, my close friend and my roommate from the Air Force Academy is J.K. McKay, who works at the Pentagon in Black Ops. His wife is the head of what they call Defense Finance and Accounting Service, which handles all the money for the Department of Defense for the United States of America. She sat at my house and told me, she goes, I issued millions of dollars in cash in satchels to these guys that were there. Their main objective was to move, disperse, to allow it to disperse, protect these facilities. And that's why there are still upwards of 1,200 people missing from New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. And people talk about it. New Orleans is a bowl. Things don't float out, they float in. So my background, I was very well connected. The sources are impeccable. You know, it's one of the reasons on March 15th, 2011, they brought a SWAT team to my house. They wanted my evidence, my records. I had a SWAT team come to my house a couple of weeks ago. I'm not very popular with my own government, but what I hate to see is mankind. And there's two things I'm going to say really quick. In New Orleans right now, there's a zip code 70112. The average life expectancy for a man is 54. New Orleans has the highest cancer, death, suicide, infant mortality, asthma, et cetera, rates in the nation, and nobody cares. And obviously, it's a very minority-driven city, and that bothers me. It's just so corrupt down there that nobody cares. But this virus, if you look at it, remember, a hurricane's a perfect incubator. High humidity, high temperature, and there's a lot of solids in the air from being stirred up, so bacteria and virus just latch on. So that's spread it out through the United States. And our government, I call it the federal desensitizing propaganda machine, is really good at what they do. And it's like Americans have just become zombies. They just, you know, they just don't care. And that's what's scary about it is, you know, people say, well, you know, you take the world. I said, the mortgage crisis, the whole downturn in the international economy was caused by the United States and the way we acted during the mortgage crisis. So I'm not real happy with my own country. But I feel an obligation to try to protect not only Americans, but the world. And this weekend is absolutely crucial. They should cancel the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It should be canceled. Everybody from all over the world has descended into New Orleans. They brought everything there, what's already in place. And they're putting out the articles, putting up the Red Cross on alert today. The military has moved in. you know, I really think that they'll end up canceling it. But who knows? They may let it play. If you see one person getting sick on the sideline or one person sick in the stadium, that's it. They'll take that virus all over the world. It is definitely a pandemic. And they've used that today in one of the videos I talk about. Health agencies are already calling it a pandemic. It's official. That's in writing. It comes from reliable sources. People know it's coming. It's just that how far are they going to let this go before they shut New Orleans down? And during Mardi Gras, which is going on right now, it is an absolutely filthy city. All these, if you get a chance, go to a webcam on Bourbon Street or New Orleans, and all these food vendors come from all over the United States. They bring people with them, and it just is a festering cesspool at this time of year. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great city, but they should have canceled it. They should have stopped people from coming in, but they didn't do that because of the money involved. And I want to emphasize one thing else. I notified the NFL and Roger Goodell, the commissioner, a year ago. I said, you got to move the Super Bowl. I told it to him. I put it in writing. I emailed him. I emailed him today. I said, you got real problems there. This they call the norovirus. Some people are calling it the Ferrari norovirus because how fast it moves. And the thing that kills you is the dehydration. Vinny, I'm talking a lot. Do you have any questions?
Well, I think you've asked me if I have any questions thrice so far in this interview. The fact that you're talking and the fact that I'm listening should actually give you some indication of the importance of these subjects of which you speak, and I want to continue listening.
Okay. Well, and in the YouTube channel, David Andrew Christensen channel, I go through and in the descriptions below the videos, I always put the links that I'm referencing. And the CDC, I sent them four emails today, as well as the National Institute of Health. I communicate with everybody. And as a side note, probably one of the only reasons I'm alive is over the course of the last 7 years, I send everything to the Supreme Court of the United States. I think they're aware of it. I think they realize how bad our government is. I think that they realized from me that the Katrina virus is real and is one of the reasons that Obamacare passed with John Roberts. He set a precedent. He never would have voted for that, I don't believe, if it hadn't been for the Katrina virus and the way it's infected our nation. We're seeing now with our government, I call it the federal desensitizing propaganda machine, articles in the paper where they're saying that my generation is going to bury our kids, that the life expectancy on the Katrina virus, it attacks both weakened immune systems and decaying immune systems. So in between, say, 24 to 25 years old and above about 60 years old, that's where it attacks. And I cite examples, and here's a perfect example of what they're doing and how they're very conniving. They've said baby boomers, and a baby boomer is somebody born before 1965, that all of us are to go out and get tested for hepatitis C. Well, there's no reason for that. If you're not an intravenous drug user, don't have a tattoo, haven't had surgery or blood transfusion, there's no medical reason why you should go. But they're saying that a third of that population has hepatitis C. Well, where did we get it from? Another example is the flu virus. Half the people that die of the flu every year have had the shot. What purpose does that serve? Go ahead.
I've always contended that the vaccination programs, get a flu shot, get a flu shot, are actually intended not to protect you from the virus, but to actually give you the virus.
And I agree. And I also think that there's other components to it. And one of the things that I did is the antidote vaccine for the Katrina virus I call Genesis, and I'm sure they're working on perfecting it. The problem is it mutates. So every year in the United States, the government gets a free shot at 40% of the people to give them something through a flu shot. And I think right now that our kids are getting 26 vaccines every year, and not every year, but 26 vaccines before they're 5 or 6 years old. And I think that's critical. But the flu shot, and if you look at right now, they don't track. Like another thing, it's sort of a sign of, I sort of call myself a translator for people. I can tell you the truth, and I can see things other people can't see. Like one of the examples with the CDC, and that stands for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, is they say the number of kids dying Well, when you think of kids, you think about 18 and below. But really, a kid is below 18, all right? And they say that in order for a kid to have been classified as dying from the flu, there has to be a lab test. Only 122 cities in the United States do those lab tests, and that's where they draw from. So I grew up in Iowa, which has 99 counties. They probably don't count Iowa at all. So it's a lie. You know, when they come and say, well, this is how many kids died of the flu virus last week, well, you really don't know. Because you're only taken out of 122 cities, and there has to be a lab test. So they rigged the game, I guess you could say. And the next thing is, we're not tracking adult flu deaths in the United States. And that just, I cannot believe that we're not doing that. So are 1,000 people dying, or 10,000 people, or 100,000 people die? So you've got to go through all the newspaper articles, and you got to count them. And there's some good websites out there right now with medical doctors that are trying to do that. You know, and you know, they're saying, like, right now, I think that it's publicly from the CDC, there's like 50 kids that have died, but actually it could be 200. And then, I really could springboard that into like gun control. You know, how many kids die every year from car accidents? And yet our country, you know, on the gun control issue, I'm not afraid of anybody else, not the Chinese or the Russians. I'm afraid of my own government. I'm petrified of them. So...
Well, they have killed quite a few people in the last, since its frickin' existence. If you weren't afraid of the US government, you frickin' should be, regardless of whether or not you're bringing out such a controversial and dangerous information that you are, that essentially threatens what they would call national security. I kind of think of the nation as more or less a corporation, and security meaning tyranny. So you're basically threatening corporate tyranny here, and therefore you become a target. Not only should you be really worried about it, but the rest of the people too, as in nobody's exempt from the scumbaggery of this government.
Nobody is. That's true. And I know you're down in New Zealand, and I did a video on New Zealand. I was glad your judge stood up in that .com case, you know, taking pressure from the United States, you know, financially, just like Canada, you know. I was glad to see you finally had a judge that stood up and said, hey, no, this is wrong. I don't know what he did.
You know, it is actually quite difficult to find a non-corrupt judge in New Zealand, because I think we've got about 46 or something high, 46%, I think, of our high court judges are related by first cousin at least. So you try getting an investigation going for corruption or something like that. Well, boy, do they protect their interests. We'll be right back with David Andrew Christensen, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments. Casting live across the USSA, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Sorry about that. There's something stuck in my throat. I think it might have been communism. My very special guest is David Andrew Christensen. Two little websites for you to go to, ladies and gentlemen. PersimmonPublishingUS.com and David Andrew Christensen channel on YouTube. Welcome back. We were talking over the break about how, basically the US government are a bunch of real scary scumbaggery individuals, and they do really horrible things to people, like strap them to a wheelchair and taser them. And you kind of wonder to yourself, you know, how could they do this? You know, how big is the corruption? The mind is boggled. It reels. And I think, well, essentially, if you try to understand insanity, you've got to become crazy, right? You ever notice that? The more psychosis and things like that you see, like, I wonder if this is an effect that happens to say, homicide investigators or something like that. They see the worst treatment of other human beings and most vile crimes and murders. They get, in a sense, desensitized to it. And the problem that we have generally, this is very generalization, of course, is that people can't think like their enemies. We don't think like a psychopath. And I think in order to defeat your enemy, you have to know how they think. David, welcome back.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, if you want to, if anybody ever gets a chance and they want, you know, some proof, our own government will actually tell you, go to the Presidential Commission on Bioethics. And there's two studies that I always talk about. One was in Alabama. It was called the Tuskegee study. It involved black men that had syphilis. They withheld penicillin from these black men for 40 years. 40 years the study went on, and these men died excruciating deaths. We're down in Guatemala when our government injected syphilis into kids to study it. You know, we're no better than the Germans. And you know, speaking of the Germans and the Nazis, you know, the Nazis got their template for eugenics. And you all know what eugenics is, the forced sterilization of individuals. They got their template from for eugenics from the state of California. I mean, Hitler...
Is that through the American Eugenics Society, which was later renamed Planned Parenthood, of which Bill Gates of Microsoft Daddy was one of the people on the board of, I think, or something like that?
You know, you might be right. I know that Procter & Gamble was involved in it, and you're right. She was. That it was a woman. Sanger was her name, I believe. We also had a Supreme Court judge who was involved in it. So Hitler just tools on over the United States and says, hey, let's use California's manual. We're not a good country. You know, no matter, we are the best marketing machine in the world. We can sell pet rocks to people. We can sell stuff that nobody else wants. And it's wrong. It absolutely is. I think there are some good people, but, you know, people just don't want to stand up. And the end of the whole equation right now, the revolution is we're $30 trillion in debt. Now, I know everybody wants to talk about 16.4, but ladies and gentlemen, we can't pay anything toward the debt, and we're deficit spending $1 trillion a year. There's a revolution coming. But let me get back to New Orleans. I want to concentrate on the Katrina virus, the Mardi Gras norovirus. This norovirus can live anywhere on countertops. It can be transferred now through the air, aerosol. You know, it's a very violent illness. You know, dehydration is what will ultimately cause death in a lot of the cases. Plus, this flu virus is coming along, and the same thing: pneumonia, the flu virus, and dehydration. So, in New Orleans, we get this massive, a couple million people that come in that are traveling, that are fatigued, that are partying, drinking beer, doing drugs, you know, eating one of the worst possible foods you can eat for the norovirus, which is seafoods, you know, et cetera. And we're putting them in this city that is now at its filthiest stage, you know, of the year with Mardi Gras. And if anybody, one person comes in with the norovirus, it's going to spread. And it mutates so fast.
Could you?
I mean, they're very concerned.
I'm sorry, David. Could you actually explain what are the symptoms of the norovirus and how is it transmitted? How infectious is it?
Oh, it's extremely infectious. Our government has already said that it goes through a crowd like a Ferrari. You can get it from physical touch. If you grab a doorknob or a counter. It's in hotel sheets. It's in water.
It's not an airborne virus, is it?
No, it can be. That's the problem that it's mutated in. And it's not as great as some things, but like, you know, you flush a toilet and it comes out, you know, there's different ways that it's airborne. And they're not really sure. And you got to remember, the information you get from our government is censored. And it's a lot of times it's just not true. They hope for the best. Now today the government took a big step, you know, putting the world on alert and the humanitarian groups and the military, you know. But the problem we're going to have is when these people leave New Orleans, you know, it may not be devastating in New Orleans, but when it leaves, that's the thing that's going to hurt the world. I mean, we're creating enemies of the world to have a sporting event. And it shouldn't be that way. Our government, our president should stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, we need to look at this. And I think they will. Tomorrow's a big day. The CDC releases last week's flu report. So we'll find out how many people have died, you know, how contagious it is, where is it traveling to, et cetera. But right now, the norovirus is huge in the Northeast, Princeton University, et cetera. And if you ever look at these equations of how it's transferred and how quickly it can infect, and it can infect the entire city of New Orleans, and there'd be no place to hide. And that's the real scary part. So we're developing this, you know, what do you call it, genocide, Armageddon, and they're not talking about it the way they should be. They should be broadcasting left and right. Hey, you know, we need to be aware of this. We need to take a look at it. But no, they're just going to wait for the catastrophe. And that's the thing that bothers me. It's no different than when Hurricane Katrina came through. You know, the preparation, nobody did anything. It was just like the hurricane came. So,
I've also got this idea that they don't like to waste a crisis, so they let them happen, and in order to justify whatever it is they want, what would they use this for? If let's say it did, as you alluded to, turn into a massive crisis, a massive outbreak, what kind of emergency powers would they give themselves?
Well, and they would, even though they don't have it. I mean, you know, if you've ever read, you know, our Constitution, the Second Amendment, it's absolute—the right to bear arms without any regulation. It's very clear, and our government now has taken upon themselves, just like, you know, hey, we're gonna regulate this, we're gonna do background checks. You know, the Constitution is not that I agree with it, but it's drafted that way, and it's pretty exact in what it says. You know, we have a president now that's issuing these orders about gun ownership. We have taken it, and here's how far down this hole we've gone. We are classifying our combat veterans as terrorists. So when they get out of the military, they can't own guns. Most of them don't go to buy guns, but when they do, that's when they find out that they can't own one. There's no court hearing. You know, you were never notified. They just hope that people don't buy them, and then they deal with it later on when somebody has to file suit, which they're not going to do. So the background check. And here's the problem with what we're going through right now in our country is they're doing this background check, but you know all somebody has to do is red flag you, and then you go in to buy a gun, you can't get it, and then it's up to you. And it shouldn't be that way. The government should say we're going to do this. You can't buy a gun because of this reason. But you know, I get off topic. I have very strong, and let me tell you this, Vinny, and most people don't realize this. I'm ex-military. My DD-214, which is my official military document when I left, is online. I put it online. I have two expert marksman ribbons. I'm good with guns. I hate guns. I don't own guns. I don't have them in my house. But by God, people have a right to own guns, period. End of statement. All right, if you're a convicted felon, you know, I can understand it, but still, our Constitution and the law, and again, I want to reiterate this. I'm not afraid of anybody. The drug lords, criminals, I'm afraid of the United States government. All right. They're historically just as evil as the Germans in Nazi Germany. That they're no better. They, you know, but I got off there on a little bit.
Well, the U.S. government like released sarin gas into a New York subway to see how it would work on people and how it would spread. You know, these people are crazy. Absolutely freaking crazy. In every single sense of the word, you know, nihilistic, psychopathic, whatever label you want to put on it, you can't put any label like benevolent or helpful or honest or decent onto the United States administration really at any point throughout history. Least of all the frickin' 20th century, since Bernaysian propaganda has taken hold. You can convince people to accept anything these days. That's the real sad part.
You're absolutely right. I mean, just take, and I go back to this over and over, you just take the national debt. We're going to hurt and harm the entire world with it. It's unbelievable that the world doesn't get upset with us for what we're doing. I don't understand it. I mean, New Zealand ought to be screaming, and Canada more than anybody ought to be screaming at us right now, and they're not. And what we're doing today, like, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a funny I got two funny stories for you if you want to do a little humor right now.
I'm always keen for humor.
I sent all my information to the Supreme Court of Canada as well as the Prime Minister, and they never responded to me. And I sent hundreds of pages of documents and letters, et cetera, outlining how the Katrina virus traveled, where it went. You know, here's the effects, the side effects, et cetera. And I sent him one letter, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to go to Canada to see some friends. As you all know, I've been classified as a terrorist by the United States of America. And I got a letter back from them. They actually told me I was welcome in Canada. It was the only response I ever got from Canada was, hey, that's great. Come on up. Here's the website. You know, here's what we need to do. But, yeah, you're definitely welcome in Canada. Come to Canada. So I got a kick out.
Isn't that defined as state-sponsored terror?
You know, most people don't realize, you know, in 2010, they classified me as a terrorist so they could bypass our judiciary system. And if you look at the National Defense Authorization Act, I have a very special commission in our military. I'm a commissioned officer for life. And, you know, what they've done is they said, hey, you know, we can classify anybody as a terrorist now, and we can assassinate them both on U.S. soil and foreign soil. Well, I'm one of those guys. There's a few of us out there that have received this classification, even though I've never done a violent thing in my life. You know, I don't own guns. I don't own weapons. I don't travel. I go to bed at 8:30 at night, and I get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a routine person. I haven't been out of the state of Florida in about a year and a half. You know, I've gone to see a friend of mine in Tampa, and that's about it. They know where I am 24 hours a day. You know, they still harass me occasionally, not as much as they used to, but when they arrested me, that's a spooky, spooky story, what they can do to you, and you have no recourse. So, and this week, I mean, I try to find humor in all of it, but it's tough because I really feel that a lot of people are going to die in the next 6 months because of what's going to happen in New Orleans this weekend. And when they do, what's the world going to do? My saving grace is some of the radio shows like yours, the YouTube channels. I mean, the alternate media has to step up. You know, people have to start turning to it and to get their news, at least the translated part of it. And one of the most amazing parts about the United States, due to the arrogance, every once in a while, not every once in a while, but you know, if you read an article from them, there is some truth in it. You just got to be able to see it. And I'm good at that. And right now, like today, with what happened with the Red Cross and how I found out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're in a city and all of a sudden you see, you know, 50 Red Cross semis pulling into town. You got to think, what's up? Or when you start seeing tanks roll down the street like happened in Houston, was it yesterday, the day before, when they had a military exercise, or down in Miami, you got to wonder, you know, they're firing, you know, live rounds. What's going on? And people just say, you know, they're going to take care of us. Well, these same, you know, numbskulls took care of us to put us $30 trillion in debt. They're not taking care of us.
See, and I think that's a very conservative estimate, because that doesn't take into account the several quadrillion of derivatives debt that is floating away up there somewhere in the clouds. I don't know if Wall Street somehow has connected with God to create a doomsday debt or something like that. I don't know how it's worked, but the other element that I wanted to point out here is that people don't know the definition of terrorism. You look in the dictionary, it's actually a system of government. A system of government that uses fear and intimidation to get the population to do what it wants. Is the United States a terrorist government, according to that definition? Why, yes! They frickin' are! And of course, you know, the best way, if your opponents don't like you being a Nazi, the best thing to do is accuse your opponents of being Nazis. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. David Andrew Christensen is my guest from PersimmonPublishingUS.com. Back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, The world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is all about history repeating. And I understand that history is a dying subject in American high schools. Dates, figures, places and things in history, these things aren't interesting. The things that are really interesting is conspiracy. And if you look through history, it's virtually nothing but. Almost every historical event's got some kind of conspiracy theory behind it. And conspiracies are very simple. Two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing about it. Anybody ever have siblings? I've had siblings cause harm on me without me knowing about it. It happens all the time. It is basically the glue that holds tyranny together. My very special guest, David Andrew Christensen, is with us today for a good 2 hours. So don't you go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And I also wanted to reiterate the importance of his information with regards to this, because when you've been in the military, when you've got special status, as he does, I think you've got to listen to what he says. Particularly if he's questioning and revealing facts that are really, really damaging to the administration. If anything, he should be classified as a whistleblower, isn't it? Don't you think, David?
Yes.
Now, what exactly can we do about this? I mean, in terms of the Katrina virus that we're talking about here, what steps can people take, I mean, other than just avoiding Mardi Gras?
Well, you know, right now that would be the best thing, is to stay out of New Orleans, you know, and to take care of yourself. I would hope that they would, and I would hope our government would step up and say, you know, we need to keep people away, or we need to cancel the game. You know, if one football player or coach or somebody that's involved in staging the event gets sick, they need to do that. But they're not talking about that right now, and they should be. And again, it travels so fast. That and they've already discussed like the incubation period, and that it can live for 2 weeks. Like you can get it one day and not show any signs for 2 weeks, or you can have it and pass it and never get sick. But with all this whole world coming together in this one city at this one time, you know, and New Orleans is the equivalent of a third world country. It's not part of the United States. It's just a very unique city. And the way they operate their, you know, their codes and things like that, they don't do a good job of it. And during Mardi Gras, it's even worse.
Okay. Right. So there's no health, things that people can take, like vitamin C or, other things of that nature. Once you've got it, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, and in the worst part about New Orleans, we don't have great health care. I mean, we're still better than probably, you know, a lot of the world, but, you know, we never rebuilt Cherry Hospital, which was downtown, to service the needs of the poor. We're still limited on that. New Orleans is not really functional or operational in a lot of aspects. It's basically a tourist town surrounded by the chemical industry, and that's what it is. So, it's a scary time, and the world should be looking at it. You know, they should say, "Hey, what's going on here?" And we were taking, you know, huge leaps and bounds every day. Today we got national press from ABC. They used the word pandemic, so ABC has used it in several instances. So we're also faced with a very difficult road. And the fact, and I'm not saying anything, you know, anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli, but our press is controlled by an inordinate amount of Jewish owners. The guy that owns the newspaper in New Orleans is named Donald Newhouse, and he owns about 150 publications, newspapers, radio stations, TV, internet, etc. He's on par with Rupert Murdoch. He's just a lot more low-keyed. And I think there's some agreement that they're not going to talk about the Katrina virus and what happened in New Orleans for whatever reason they've done with the federal government, even though they talk about the statistics of our health of the health issues down there, you know, with the suicide rates in the paper and the life expectancies, etc. I mean, New Orleans, this is, you know, there's some speculation that AIDS was invented in New Orleans. I mean, you know, New Orleans and Baton Rouge have the highest SDT, gonorrhea, syphilis rates in the nation, as well as AIDS, you know, and but nobody cares, Vinny. And that's the scary part, is very few people actually care. They just want to look the other way and do nothing. But yet, when the bill comes, it's going to be so large that they can't pay it. They just want to put it off and turn their back to it. And that's one of the things that scares me. And I'm not successful at getting the word out. You know, I mean, I show people documents, and one of the things I do that I really, really like and makes me, you know, is that I can take government documents and show it to you. You know, here's what this says. Like when I show you the CDC flu report from last Friday, how they analyze, you know, the deaths for kids. You know, it's right there. They say it, and that they don't track adult deaths, even though they track everything else in this world. Do you know our attorney general got on national TV and says, we have a thing called data mining. We're going to track everything about every American, you know, everything you do, when you use a charge card on your internet, your text messages, your phone calls, everything's going to be tracked and stored for 5 years. And people, when I say, well, why don't they track death rates and how somebody dies? They say, well, they don't have that capability. Are you kidding me? The NSA, they monitor everything, and they always have. And I'm affiliated with that. You know, I was connected to it when I was at the Air Force Academy. I people talk about chemtrails. I never even really knew what a chemtrail was until within the last couple of months. But yet, when I was at David Monthan Air Force Base, and then when I flew C-130s, you know, we had this process and this procedure that I got trained on about spraying Agent Orange. You know, I mean, we have the capability to do it, all right, and the medical capability. So people say, well, it can't be. It's hogwash. If our government wants to spray it and whatever's in it, you know, if you look at the Katrina virus, which is most amazing, it was transported via the atmospheric conditions. All right, so why wouldn't they maybe distribute the antidote and the vaccine in the same manner? I mean, you know, sometimes the best way to absorb that stuff is through the skin. You know, it may not be through the mouth and the stomach, because the stomach's very corrosive. A lot of things don't survive that. That's why we get shots. And that goes through the skin or maybe into the blood. But there's so many unknowns out there. And Vinny, let me back up. I was never a federal whistleblower. I was never one of these guys. It's really strange. What happened to me in this particular instance for New Orleans is I was subjected to mortgage fraud. A gentleman sold me a piece of property, and I never got the title to it, et cetera. And that's where it came from. I stood up to him. I didn't realize he was being protected by the federal government. His name was Louis Madera. He was a scumbag attorney down in New Orleans. It was being protected by Jim Letton in the Department of Justice because of the criminal activities that he was conducting. The Department of Justice was reaping benefits. And that's what they do. Ultimately, he had entered the Federal Witness Protection Program because they didn't know what to do with him. But they totally ruined my life by all this. You know, so here you got a guy that served his country, you know, with distinction, and I end up being a terrorist. It almost seems impossible, but it's not anymore. That's the way our government, what they're doing that to a lot of people. There's terrorists, then there's domestic terrorists, and that's what they're doing is pretty soon. And let me talk for a second as an ex-military guy. What they're doing with our veterans is they're coming out, these combat veterans, and they've classified them as the largest terrorist threat in the United States is our military combat vets. Did you know, Vinny, that 50 members of our military family commit suicide every day in the United States? They publicly acknowledge one soldier and 18 veterans, but they don't acknowledge the family members. And I did a video the other day that suicide is actually a contagious situation. So we have these soldiers committing suicide, then the wife or the kids will. And it's amazing how high the probability is that if one suicide will lead to another. So our government says, well, we're not tracking the suicide for the family members or the veterans. But they are, Vinny. I promise you they are. And a lot of these veterans were in Iraq and Afghanistan with these chemical warfare contaminants, these weapons of mass destruction, this sixth-generation Agent Orange. And Agent Orange was, I lived in New Orleans, Agent Orange was manufactured in New Orleans on Earhart Boulevard. You know, it was manufactured by a company called Thompson Hayward, a hard cross. I used to deliver chemicals for that company as a kid in Iowa. You know, it's amazing in my life since I was a kid how I learned things, like delivering hazardous chemicals. We had a family business, so I learned about hazardous chemicals and chemicals from the family business. And then to deliver for Harcross and Thompson Hayward, who was the production company for Agent Orange, which was just absolutely, I can't believe that we, as that mankind would invent something like that. And it's still around. You know, we were using it in Afghanistan. We're using it in Iraq. You know, and people, if any of your callers ever call in or send, you know, you any type of messages, they want to call the bullshit flag on me, more power to them. You know, I want people to say things to me and say, I'll go back. It happened to me the other day, and I'm trying to remember what it was where I know what it was. I made a mistake. I had done all these studies based that the Super Bowl is this Sunday, and that Fat Tuesday, the last day of Mardi Gras, was the 5th. You want to say something?
Yeah, we're coming to break. And I also wanted to say that suicide is now the leading cause of death in the United States. And yeah, a lot of the veterans are medicated as well with SSRI drugs, which on the printout sheet says can cause suicide and homicide. We'll be right back, folks. Leave you with that happy thought. Another hour with David Andrew Christensen coming up. Welcome back, everybody. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's hour number 2, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. I do broadcast 5 days a week from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And one of my listeners emailed me today and said, Vinny, I'm in the US and it's scaring the hell out of me, and I want to move somewhere to get out of the line of fire. And I was thinking about coming to New Zealand. Do you reckon it's safe? And I was just kind of like, well, Lady Gaga, Bill Gates, James Cameron, they're frequenting New Zealand. I think James Cameron's actually starting to bucking for citizenship and even bought a farm here. So if the elite are escaping to New Zealand, I think that's a pretty good indication that this might be a good place to be. And if you have a look at America and those who are obscenely wealthy, who are fleeing the place like cockroaches from an exterminator, in some cases, kind of literally, you really don't want to be in the United States. Now, there's a couple of mentalities that I think are contrary to that, which also are very valid. For example, it's my country, boy. And I ain't leaving for nothing or nobody. I'm going to defend it till I die. And anybody come on my land, I will shoot them with a shotgun, especially if they happen to be wearing a blue helmet. Now, I also wanted to iterate as well that I'm in need of some new equipment. The computer that I have here is starting to overheat. And I'm surprised it's lasted this long, actually, because I do a ridiculous amount of video and audio editing every single day, and I wear out equipment like you would not believe. So if anybody is capable or really, really wants to support this show in an obscene fashion, I need a new Mac. A big one. Not a little one. Something that is very ruthless, vicious, some kind of an evil machine. You know, something that could, you know, something the NSA would love. You know what I'm saying? That kind of a machine, something that's capable of surveilling Vinnie Eastwood 24 hours a day and processing stuff at some kind of deep underground military base facility. A mean machine. You know what I'm saying? So if you're capable of doing that, that'd be great. If not, please contribute to the show by subscribing for as little as $1 a month, up to 5, 10, or 20. And we will give you some commercial-free ad archives for that. And lastly, those who are donating and supporting this show, I would also encourage you to donate to American Freedom Radio. There's a little donate banner right there on the homepage of AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and they desperately need funding at the moment, and we're working on a fundraising campaign for them in the near future. So I apologize for that shameless self-promotion and plugging and desperation, but now back to the show. My very special guest, David Andrew Christensen, welcome back. Now, what would you like to talk about at this point?
Well, I want to say concentrate on what's going to happen in the Superdome, but I want to talk about, since we're going to do the second hour, I want to talk about the suicide. I've been writing about suicides being up in the United States for some time, and then Cambridge University out of England came over and published a report, and I tried to contact the doctors and professors that wrote the report. And they made the statement that suicides were up 400% since 2006. Now, this report's a couple years old, but it was just published, or the data that they were using, you know, it took them a while to analyze and then issue the report. The report was issued last year. So they said that they're up 400%. Well, they said we believe that 25% of that increase, 100%, was due to the economy, but the other they couldn't account for, and they acknowledged that. So we went from 0.12 suicides per 100,000 to 0.51. And now we're almost like one suicide per 100,000. All right. And they don't have a clue. And they say, well, it's because of the environment. Well, you know, we have been infected. All right. And even if I'm wrong, say I'm wrong on that. If I say Americans have been infected with the Katrina riots, say I'm wrong. But you have to find out with some plausible explanation what's causing suicides, what's changed over the last decade. The other thing is our government has not been tracking murder-suicides publicly. But I did a video, and I said, here, Google murder-suicides. I just happened to Google murder-suicides in Las Vegas. There's one every week, and every other week it's a multiple murder-suicide. Then last week or the week before, police officer out in Vegas killed his son and his wife and killed himself. So that leads into our soldiers are doing the same thing. And people read it and they become so desensitized to it, they don't care. So we have these soldiers, you know, one a day that's killing themselves. Now, our government, again, evil, if they don't have to classify it as a suicide, they don't. But the family members and the veterans, you know, the same thing, the 18 veterans a day, and again, that's publicly what they say. The number is actually higher than that. I'm telling you now, and I stand by the figure, it's 50 members of our military family kill themselves every day in the United States. Every day. The guys and women are coming back from the Middle East, you know, infected with these chemical warfare weapons, and it's just devastating to them. And we're creating this entire society now where suicide is going to happen more and more, and it's going to be spontaneous. I tell that to people. Our government should come out and say, hey, we made a mistake. Watch out for your fellow man, because your son's going to come home. And boom, he's going to commit suicide. No problems with him. He gets commits suicide. And I know what I'm talking about. My sister committed suicide in 2008. I mean, I have knowledge on it. And it's a scary thing that when you open the paper and you read about this, now people see suicide as an alternative, as a way out. And I'm scared to death. And we take our soldiers that are combat tested. I know why our government's classifying them as terrorists and why they're a great threat, but we need to help them. And I did a video last week. They're finally come out and say, we're not doing enough for our veterans, and that we use them up, spit them out. And there's another example. It's like, well, we worry about the one active duty soldier, but what about the eight retired or separated soldiers? So we're going to be, the United States is going to lead the world in suicides. You know, our government, and I don't know if you know this, in Nazi Germany, it took four guards to escort 1,000 Jews to the gas chamber. In the United States right now, we are sprinting to those gas chambers without any guards. We are killing ourselves, and it's only going to get worse. This weekend is just the tip of the iceberg. I know that the people in power right now, I don't know what they're going to gain by letting it happen if they don't come out, and they're taking a chance with our lives, everybody's lives in the world, not just New Orleans, but in the world with this pandemic. And they've already said there's a pandemic coming. That was a long-winded answer.
Well, there's a number of points that you raised there that I want to touch on, namely the homeless population. 25% of them are veterans. And this isn't because those people can't find jobs. It's not because they have gone crazy or something like that and nobody would hire them. We had Department of Defense, or former Department of Defense librarian Douglas Dietrich on the show, I think yesterday. And what he said on the show previously is while he was working for the DOD, when combat veterans come home, and I think this started as early as the Vietnam era, a combat veteran with 1 year's experience is much, much more effective in combat and in squad formations and things of that nature than newbie grunts who come in for the first time. A lot of them will be killed or traumatized, and when they come back, if they have a year of combat experience, they're a very, very valuable asset. And what the Department of Defense has done is they've put on employment records and things of that nature, which employers have access to, allegedly, black marks on their name, such as this person is schizophrenic, this person is a pedophile, this person is violent, this person's a liar, just made-up stuff, so that they won't be able to get a job and will be forced back into service, where they're very useful, you know? And a large proportion of veterans, rather than get a job pumping gas, which is far beneath them, you know, they used to drive in million-dollar pieces of equipment for a living, would either go back into the service or just say, you know what, there's no way I'm going to go back there and kill other people for an empire, and they'd rather live on the streets. And post-traumatic stress syndrome as well, instead of saying, look, I went to war, I saw horrible things, I did horrible things that I'm not proud of, talking about it, going through counseling and things of that nature. Veterans Administration tends to instead give these people SSRI drugs, which, as we mentioned earlier, can cause those murder suicides that you're alluding to, can cause just suicides in general. And this is part of the massive, massive explosion of it recently, as I think, I don't know what the real reason is for that, but let me just bring it back to you mentioned the Nazis there, and how they only took 4 guards to march 1,000 Jews into the camps. And apparently the Russians, when they were setting up their gulags under communism, they found, based on the Nazi example, that putting fluoride into the water dramatically decreased people's feelings of independence or energy and things of that nature, made them much easier to control. And allegedly, the introduction of fluoridation into the water supply of gulags in communist Russia meant that they were capable of reducing the guard numbers by 75%. And guess what? All of the major SSRI drugs are all bonded with fluoride, fluoxetine. That's the technical name for the Prozac and everything that they're giving everybody. So it all ties in, I think. What are your thoughts on this?
It's all believable. I mean, you got to wonder what's going on. I mean, we're seeing, one of in the report out of Cambridge, I understood the suicide rate, the suicide numbers going up. The most amazing part about the report was the definitive explanation that the rate itself is going up every year. And they saw, and it shouldn't do that. It should level off, or it should go up and down, but it went like from 0.12 to 0.18 to 0.36 to 0.51, and it continued to rise with no abatement. Why is that happening? That is an epidemic. you know, and our country is not looking at it. And all of a sudden, they wait until it's so far gone, and then they can't do anything about it. And that's what's scary. The same with our troops. You know, we have this entire population of probably 2 million troops that are having a tough time in this macho world, and we're not doing it. And the worst part in the United States, and I'm going to say this right now, our nonprofits, all right, Vinny, are terrible. They're in it for the money. You know, you look at these. I contacted these three veterans organizations, and I've contacted 100 of them asking for help. I went to the Air Force Academy and said, listen, we got to get the word out. You know, some of the guys at the Academy have committed suicide, their kids. You know, we got to help each other. Now we're not getting involved. My cousin is Admiral John Christensen. He's the president of the Naval War College for the United States Navy. My other cousin is Colonel Joe Christensen. He's a psychiatrist and a medical doctor who's worked 28 years active duty working with the troops. He's done research. He's authored. And then he went from there to the Veterans Association. Knows I'm telling the truth. Knows about it. John was a source. And then when I say, hey, I need you to come forward and confirm this stuff, no. And they're both devout Catholics. And I'm like, you're kidding me. So I get in touch with my uncle and I said, hey, you know, what's going on here? Well, you know, I mean, they won't return my phone calls. My being a federal whistleblower, Vinny, everybody turns their back on you. Everybody. You lose friends, relatives. You know, the government does everything they can to discredit you. And it's hard to continue on. And I'm just not going to back down from them. I mean, we're going to get the truth out. We're going to make a difference in this world and move forward, because too many people are going to die. We can't afford Obamacare. You know, we're just not. I mean, we're going to start having people die on the streets. Our homeless population is going to increase. You know, our economy. And I look at it right now, and they're pushing for guns because they know. Going back, that's an interesting thing. I just realized this. Our country was founded by terrorists. You know, the entire foundation is based on terrorism. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, all right, you know, the founding document, it talks about it. When a government gets out of control and doesn't take care of its people, you dismantle it. And that's what we need to do right now. If you ever read the Declaration of Independence, that's what it was. It was a catch-all. Say, hey, we're going to set this government up the best we can, but when it starts going bad, just start a new one. And that's what we need to do. We have a government right now that says, hey, you know, the Constitution, which is a relatively short document, Vinny, and then you have the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments. It's not long. I mean, you can sit and read it in less than 30 minutes, probably 15 minutes. It's absolute about free speech. You know, I find with our government, it says we have a right to petition the courts. Well, the court says, no, you don't. We're not going to let you do it. You know, or you have the right to own an arm on a bridge, guns on a bridge. No, you don't. Or illegal search and seizure. Well, no, you don't. Well, what the hell is this the Constitution for? And why are we having, you know, you go back to what a scumbag country we are, and why people won't believe me. They believe George Bush when he said there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq when there weren't. And then he believed him and says, well, when he said, we have to stay in Iraq. Well, why? You lied to us to bring us into the country. And if I was, I'm so angry with him being a veteran and that people died because he was arrogant and egotistical, to take us into a country like that. It wasn't our job. It's not our job in Afghanistan. We're not the policemen of the world. We can't take care of our own, Vinny. I mean, in New Orleans last year, they killed 200 young black men. You know, we're not educating them. It's genocide. The same thing, I think, I can't remember what I read the other day, how many people have already died this year in Chicago from it. And it's like, they don't have any hope. You know, we're out there pressing, oh, democracy. We don't live in a democracy. When people say, oh, we have the greatest, it's not. It's a special interest group that control it. You know, and I hate that. And Obama, think about that. Our president gets elected because he tells people, and this is key. One example, and I got millions of these. I'm going to give students student loan money to go to a college that I'm going to borrow from the Chinese so they can go get an education knowing that they're never going to be able to pay that loan back. I mean, it's
knowing that as soon as you get your qualification and you go out of the student loan line, you go directly into the unemployment line, because nobody likes to hire people that are educated with zero experience. You'd be better off getting a frickin' job at Walmart. We'll be right back after the break with my very special guest, David Andrew Christensen, and take some callers.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know
what
about
you know?
The bleeding uranium in the mortar? What
Welcome
you know
back.
About AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, David Andrew Christensen. We were just talking over the break. Kind of asked him, you know, when you become a truther, when you discover 9/11 is an inside job, that vaccines are more or less covert bioweapons used on the population, that the governments are corrupt, that the wars are based on lies, that the finance industry is completely made up of a house of frickin' cards that only topples on those who are invested in it and not those who control it, you lose friends. You lose job opportunities. You lose your sense of cool and calm in your life. And for a whistleblower like David, it's even more so. You know, take what most of the people who've been listening to this broadcast have gone through and amplify it to a point where he's not suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. He's suffering from constant, current traumatic stress because of coming out for the truth in the way that he has. Now, we'd like to go to a... I wanted to let people know that, because coming out with the truth in this fashion takes such courage, and to continue despite the discrimination, despite the consequences, is very honourable indeed. So let's go to our first caller now, who's been holding on for nearly 40 minutes, and sorry about that. I hope this works. In the 804 area code, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, what are y'all talking about?
We're talking about the Katrina virus and things of that nature, and how the US government has turned into a terrorist organization that spreads disease and scumbaggery all over the place and persecutes whistleblowers and messes their lives up.
Oh, I know nothing about that.
All right. Well, in that case, you're also breaking up quite a bit there. Your connection's not too good, mate.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Don't worry. I'll just mute you, and you continue to hold on and listen in, my friend. All right. We'll go to our next caller now. Nathan, you're on the air in the 480 area code. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Benny. It's Nathan out here in Phoenix, Arizona. Wow. We really got to fit into the stick here, didn't we? The general public, the little guy, and, you know, not, out here on the 33rd parallel, X marks the spot, Phoenix, Arizona. Not just... Everything that I've seen,
Nathan, hold on a second. You're breaking up really badly too. I don't know if this is actually happening for just me because of my computer, but both our callers seem to be breaking up. David, is he breaking up for you as well?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Is that better? I turned the volume down on my headset.
That's a bit better.
A little bit better. Okay, all right. I just want to say I feel that I have the solution for everybody, whether no matter what kind of person you are, no matter what kind of situation you're in, I've got it. And you might not see it at first. I've got lots of different actions that you can do. I've made a website. You plugged me the other day. I'll send you an email, and maybe you can choose to put my website out again. But I really feel that everything's going to be okay as long as I can get a certain number of people to see that what I've come up with is a solution. And I we really don't have it that bad, you know? All it's going to take is a little bit of action on a certain percentage of the population to pull through and get your done.
Nathan, this is kind of irrelevant to the conversation that we're having here, mate.
I didn't think so. I thought it was kind of like right on because it really feels like it's like doom and gloom and everybody's running away from America and you know, I just say, you know, everybody's knocking themselves off and everything. It's like because they don't have anything to do because they don't know where to go. They don't know, you know, they're so in debt up to their ears. There's no solution. So they're just turning to, you know, for drugs and everything. I mean, everything in my life that's hit a chord with me in my heart, you know, whether it's a movie or whatever else, has pointed to me the list that I've made up, which, you know, is just a summation of simple tasks that we can all do, simple solutions. And if you don't know what to do, if that's the last resort, if you think that you've got to, you know, commit suicide, check out my website. There's something on there that you'll get from that you know, it's an alternative and it's going to make your life better.
Nathan, you're waffling. You're not giving out the website. You're not actually talking specifically about what any of these solutions are. You're just talking generally about it and not giving any information. Could you change that? What's the website?
My website is tooltreebot.com. And it's in its infancy. It's tool like a shovel, tree like a branch, and bot like a robot. .com. Check it out. You know, leave a comment. I don't have any comments. I'm not getting mad. I'm patient. I don't expect it to be like Facebook or anything, but I think I've commented myself on my website a few times. But that's it. I've got, you know, so just check it out. You know, there's a lot of good things on there. And I'm sorry for being spread thin there on my approach there. Sorry about that.
No worries. Thanks for your call, Nathan. Okay. Right. So taking the callers was probably not a good idea. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you have something relevant to this particular conversation that we're having with David Andrew Christensen about. And I would also like, David, for you to explain to the listeners what you told me over the break about these this young group of people who you were friends with back in the day, and kind of all of them got cancer.
We lived in New Orleans, and my wife and I don't have kids, so we developed sort of a younger set of friends who had not had kids. So they, you know, and we enjoyed New Orleans as a good city for music and food, and you know, everybody in this group ended up with cancer of some sort. One thyroid cancer, uterus cancer. Another friend of ours had prostate cancer. All young people. You know, one was in her early 20s, one was in her 30s. And when you would talk to people, you would bring this out, and you know, they just figured it was just the way life was. And that's one of the things that bothers me about humans right now, especially Americans, is, you know, even with the suicide, is like we don't see. We're blinded by this propaganda. And a simple answer, there's two different answers. So one is, you know, you take the Catholic Church, and I'm Catholic. I mean, they've been around for 2,000 years. You know, are we in any better shape today than we were 2,000 years ago? And then in the United States, we have separation of church and state, but in reality, we don't. You know, we brainwash our kids with the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, you know, Santa Claus, you know, right and wrong. So it takes a long time to deprogram somebody to say, hey, you know, we believe our government's going to do the right thing, and they don't do the right thing. If you look at the decisions of the Supreme Court over the 200 and some years of this country, they've made terrible choices. They've completely gone against what our founding fathers wanted and what this country was, you know, the whole thing was based on. And now we've incriminated our military, our military leadership. You know, you look at like this year, I told you about my cousin being an admiral and president of the Naval War College. He's got no leadership ability at all. You take General Petraeus, who was director of the CIA. The man's having an affair. And you look at what he compromised, and people don't really understand the truth about what happened and why he resigned. The affair at the time of his resignation was behind him. His wife knew about it. Paula Broadwell gave a speech in Denver and gave out classified information. She said that the United States was holding terrorist prisoners in the annex at the embassy in Benghazi. All right. And what happened was, before the election, Obama in the Department of Defense and the military, so he would get reelected, there was an attack plan for Libya. Five things happened, and I you know, this came to me because of my connections. You know, one of the least things that happened was Hurricane Sandy hit. Just a freak thing. But then Paula Broadwell, they found out that she gave a speech and gave out classified information in Denver. The next thing is the FBI agent in Tampa called a congressman that he had known in the House of Representatives, who notified Eric Cantor of what was going on with Paula Broadwell. So this whole thing, you know, got just exploded in front of the president. So all of a sudden, the attack for political purposes was called off because of what was taking place. I mean, our government operates that way. We just, you know, I'm very disappointed if that man there that was just on says, you know, you find good in things. We're running to the cliff and jumping voluntarily. I don't see the good in that. Our suicide rates are so high right now that, you know, a website's not doing it. If there's a chemical imbalance in somebody, or they've been chemically altered, you know, no amount of good of watching a comedy or whatever is going to do any good. So what does our government do? We invent drugs. Do you know, Vinny, my mom's on 18 different medications. She takes 50 pills a day, plus she has a patch. You know, and she's not the uncommon person. She's the norm. You know, and you think about where Alzheimer's came from or dementia. See, I get off on all this. I mean, this is what happens when you become this federal whistleblower. You know, you don't find employment, so you do research. And one of the things, I'll tell you an interesting story. When I got arrested by this SWAT team and all that and incarcerated, on my bond, one of the stipulations, if I was going to get out of jail, was I couldn't be on the internet. I couldn't do any more research. They were going to keep me that way for a year. They wanted to paint me crazy, and they said, here. Also on this particular bond, I couldn't go near 74 people. I couldn't go near my U.S. congressman, my U.S. senators. I couldn't go near the director of the FBI, all these people, including friends and attorneys. And I couldn't go near my house. If they let me out of jail, I couldn't even go home. So, you know, our government, you know, I tell this to people, and this is on my website on persimmonpublishingus.com under the documents tab. I had a U.S. attorney representing me in court as my defense attorney, gave away all my rights, kept me in jail. And I said, you don't represent me. I'm representing myself. I've never retained you. You don't represent me. Well, I'm here. You know, you're a veteran or whatever. You know, it is so absurd what they can do. And I tell this to people. I show them the documentation. I show them the court record. I give them the transcript. They still don't believe me. They're looking at it, and they say, well, this just can't be. This can't be. But yet it's there. It's in the website. It's unbelievable how little Americans care. We really don't. And the only reason we went in, I truly believe it's the only reason we went into Iraq last time, was for money. You know, via Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and the oil connection. It has ruined the economy, and we're so far in debt right now, we're never coming out. But I want to get back to New Orleans because I'm so worried about this weekend, Vinny. You know, I want people to watch it, you know, watch for people getting sick, and remember that they're going to bring that sickness home to New Zealand and Australia. It's going to travel so fast and so quick. And the question is, what will it mutate into? You know, our government's prepared for it. I'm sure New Zealand's prepared for it now. Australia, you know, the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, humanitarian groups, the United Nations is there. You know, I contact the United Nations. They won't respond to me. They won't respond to my letters, my emails, my phone calls. You know, nothing. They don't care. It's like, well, we got to get money from the United States. We're this big, ugly SOB at the end of the street with the biggest baseball bat. And if you don't do it our way, we're going to crush you. And I absolutely hate that. So, well, I don't mean to be so depressing.
Well, look at it this way. You're simply reporting the facts. And I don't know why people don't get this. The truth can be pretty depressing. All right? The truth is the truth is the truth. It's unfortunate. Doesn't mean you have to let it dominate your life and your mindset either. Richard, in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello, Vinny. Hi, David. And David, I've been following you for a couple of months now, and I very much appreciate your work and thank you for your bravery in bringing this news out and trying to warn people. I wanted to mention a couple of tie-ins. I've read both Me and Lee by Judith Barry Baker, as well as Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam. Are you familiar with those books, David?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, the tie-in with what was going on in New Orleans for a long time historically in terms of dark operations and crazy weaponry and that sort of thing. As you know, they were creating a weaponized form of cancer in an attempt to come up with something that would kill Castro, with Judith Barry Baker and Lee Harvey Oswald working with them. You know, the thing is, New Orleans has always had such a high mafia content that those sort of things probably became easier to establish in New Orleans than they might have been in some other towns around the country. And I just wanted to talk about those correlations and how I think that goes a long way to supporting the information that you're bringing forward, because God knows there was more going on there with the weapons research and that sort of thing than just those two well-publicized stories.
And, all right, thank you. Richard, thank you very much for your call. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment that we have here with David Andrew Christensen. I wanted to make sure to plug his website and his YouTube channel one last time for you. So his YouTube channel is called David Andrew Christensen, and his website, PersimmonPublishingUS.com. That's PersimmonPublishingUS.com. And we wanted to talk about Dr. Mary's Monkey. And Richard in Texas, thank you very much for your call and the last thing. That was actually a welcome relief from the other two kind of off-topic and or couldn't hear what they were talking about callers that we had there. So if you want to lead off with that, and you were also talking about the Supreme Court over the break, and we've only got about maybe 10 or 11 or 12 minutes to cover both of these topics, David, and because of the amount of info that you're capable of divulging, we're going to have to do it quickly.
Okay. Well, let's start with, I wrote two books, and the reason I wrote them was to get them into the Library of Congress and get them into the hands of the Supreme Court. The first book was titled "An American-Born Terrorist's Emails to the Department of Justice." It describes all the communication between me and the Department of Justice and the Supreme Court prior and after my arrest for cyberstalking, of which I was never charged with any crime. But, you know, what they did to me, putting me in isolation for 11 days and medicating me against my will, all in violation of my rights. The next book was the United States Supreme Court and the Katrina virus. And it's a profound book. And I admit up front that it's incoherent because I needed the information and the documents to go into the Library of Congress. I needed there to be a record of it. And it starts out that this is an epic constitutional crisis between the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive branch. I also very clearly state, Vinny, that 155 million Americans and Canadians have been infected with the Katrina virus. All right. I don't pull any punches about that it happened. It was such a grotesque release of weapons of mass destruction that we have destroyed ourselves. We tried to invent a weapon where the other opposing army would commit suicide, and they didn't. Now, this leads into Dr. Mary's Monkey. The author of that book has refused to communicate with me, won't call me back, won't respond to my emails. Also, the publisher, the same thing. Dating way back since when I first got the book. And I think one of the reasons they won't do it, and I'm going to try to explain this to you, is they missed the point of what was going on. If you remember, Oliver Stone had a movie, JFK. He missed the point, too. Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't assassinated because of his connection to the murder of JFK. He was assassinated because of the knowledge that he had of what was taking place in New Orleans and what was taking place in Russia. All right, the chemical warfare contaminants in both countries were involved in New Orleans. Had huge between the Ochsner Hospital System and Tulane University. That's why he had to go, because once they put him on the stand, he was going to start talking about what was going on in New Orleans. All right. And I could have done more research on that, but suffice it to say that that was the key. Whatever happened with Kennedy, I don't know. I'm not involved in that conspiracy. But what I do know is Lee Harvey Oswald was so entrenched in what was taking place in New Orleans with the chemical warfare stuff. And you talk about the mafia and all that. Well, these laboratories were in neighborhoods, in wealthy neighborhoods. They were on Louisiana Avenue, and there was these, a lot of them were primate labs. And you know, they talk about Dr. Mary Sherman, who was murdered. They've never solved it. It's still listed as unsolved. And Jim Garrison, who went after, people, they just missed the story. If they would have looked, and our government's great for that. Look over here as we do this. They just missed it. It had to do with the chemical warfare weapons and the fact that they were actually releasing, accidentally at that time. But if you look in New Orleans at the health issues of African Americans and even Caucasians, it's incredible. So, it all ties in. And that's one of the things with me is, if you ever follow my life and what I talk about, I am connected to everybody. It is absolutely astounding. Like the Coast Guard Commander William Goetze, if you follow how he was murdered by our government, his criminal attorney was my attorney. His civil attorney was my attorney. It is absolutely astounding. The story they planted in the press about what he had done was untrue. Our government manipulates. And in New Orleans right now, and you're not familiar with New Orleans, the top four U.S. attorneys in New Orleans have all been fired because of prosecutor misconduct. If we had an honest government, all the criminal cases over the last 7 years would be overturned. And again, people say, well, what about America? 97% of the federal criminal cases are decided by a plea deal. The reason they're decided by the plea deal is our government violates constitutional rights, such as illegal search and seizure, develops information, and they go to a person and say, listen, you don't plead guilty to this offense that carries a 2 to 5 year prison sentence and you'll be classified as a felony, you're going to go to prison for 100 years. All right. It's absolute. And here, I'll give you another fact. All right. Federal public defenders, in the Constitution, you have a right to an attorney. It says it in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights. All federal public defenders work directly for the Attorney General, who's a political appointee. Do you think Eric Holder, the political appointee, wants federal public defenders winning when it's all, when Obama's running for office? No. So you get a corrupt attorney that works for the federal government, that works for the attorney general, political appointee, who works for Obama, who runs for office. And I'm pointing them out just because, they're in office right now. All right. Minorities, poor people, they don't get attorneys. All right. They don't get a fair shake at a trial. They don't get a fair shake at history. We have the largest, the United States has the largest incarcerated criminal population in the world, both as in numbers, sheer numbers, and as a percentage of the population. All right, 35% of those people in prison, in federal prison, are there for crimes they didn't commit. They had to plea bargain some other crime, all right, and that's why they're there. You're not innocent until proven guilty in the United States. And that's why I say, I've lived it all, Vinny. I'm not sitting on the sidelines. I'm in this game. It's happened to me. I'm telling you, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You don't have a right to free speech. You don't have a right to own a weapon. I can go on and on about how corrupt our government is. And yet we carry a big stick because of the money and the nuclear weapons. And yet we're killing our troops. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm rambling.
Go on.
I tell you, I'm going to be lighthearted this week. I find humor in a lot of things to take care of this, the stress and that. But the government comes out and says on this norovirus, and I get a kick out of this, that green leafy vegetables and vegetables are carrying the norovirus, which, naturally they're not carrying it, but they get it somewhere along the way. So they tell people to stop eating them. So Taco Bell, do you have Taco Bell in New Zealand?
No.
Anyway, Taco Bell is one of the worst foods. It's a fast food in the United States. One of the worst foods you can eat. And it's one of the worst restaurants. And they don't care. They're selling this high-fat, high-grease food, right? So they run this big Super Bowl ad about this 12-pack of tacos. Huge money goes into it, blah, 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 blah. And in the background of this ad, it says, anybody that's bringing vegetables, green vegetables to a Super Bowl party, people hate. They just absolutely hate them. All right. And so this goes on, and I think it's pretty good. It was a clever ad. I liked it. You know, you bring tacos. The federal government ordered them to take the ad down because they made a mistake. Everybody stopped eating vegetables. So they had to take the ad down. You know, Taco Bell's like, well, that's our big ad for the Super Bowl. Well, you can't do it because we need people to start eating vegetables again, even if they have this norovirus on it. And that's what they do. I mean, here's the king of Greece, the fast food company of Greece and fat. And now they got to take this ad down because, you know, they were doing it. And, you know, maybe my humor's a little off, but that's the way our government.
Here's something that's also funny that's along the same vein. Did you know the U.S. government has now officially classified pizza as a vegetable? Because, wait for it, it's got tomato paste on it.
And tomato paste and tomatoes are a fruit.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
Oh, you can't invent the truth, Vinny. You absolutely can't. I mean, the stories I could tell you about stuff that I've seen, and it's just unbelievable, and yet it's true, you know?
Well, you know, sometimes words escape you. I don't know about you, David, but I do know about you, and I don't class myself on the same level as you by any stretch of the imagination, but I've learned a lot of really, really, really interesting stuff over my life, and I'm still learning at a geometric rate, more and more and more and more. Sometimes sitting back and making sense of it all ain't possible, because the truth doesn't make sense in a lot of cases. And there's an old saying, when you're writing fiction, it has to make sense. The truth doesn't. It's a sad state of affairs. Well, we've come to pretty much the end of the show, David, so if you've got quick 40 seconds here to encourage people to go somewhere, do something, you know, maybe it's go to the shopping centers in Orlando or something. I don't know. Go for your life.
Well, I want people to stay out of New Orleans and to keep an eye on it and realize that you got to stand back and look at things. You can see it if you just look. All right. If you see people getting sick, read articles very carefully, because there's usually some string in there that's true by accident. Like one of the things I found out by accident was on the BP oil spill about something taking place there. The government will tell you truth just because some low level is usually given a brief for issuing a press release. But watch this. When you start seeing things like pandemic used, epidemic used, right now our flu epidemic in the United States, according to our government, is 35% above the standard that they set. We're killing nine people per 100,000 are dying of the flu right now. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I hope people start opening their eyes and, you know, coming together as a world. We got to take care of each other. And the world's ended. I mean, we're not going to survive what's going to take place, you know. And like I said, we go back to the Super Bowl. This is a perfect chance right now. What's going to happen this weekend? Maybe nothing. You know, but no matter what, we have three current virus epidemics in the United States. And that's, I appreciate you having me on, Vinny. It was great. David Andrew Christensen channel on YouTube and PersimmonPublishingUS.com. And thank you.
Thank you very much, man. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.